Hey Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to the first recap episode of the 2025 season. Our Govs, they did it, man. They did it.
I know. Good win.
I predicted a win, but did not predict it to go like that, just being honest. Dominated in every facet of the game, Chris.
Absolutely, yeah. There's not much you can look at and see other than, and I don't want to start to show off negative, but the one thing I can sit and point out that they need to clean up is penalties. But beyond that, they literally dominated the entire game from start to finish.
Yeah, so if y'all didn't see it, 34-14. And keep in mind, we entered the game as 15-point underdogs and ended up winning by 20 points. So Chris Parson, in his debut with the Govs, completed 11 of 20 passes, 142 yards with two touchdowns and no turnovers. Yeah, the thing about it is he did leave in the third quarter, late in the third quarter. It's not serious. So he'll be good going forward. Austin Smith came in relief. You know, he did his job. He kept us afloat, kept us in the lead. He got a little touchdown of his own to put the game away, put that final nail in the coffin. So it was good, cool to see that. The ground game didn't really get going a whole lot, but we didn't really need it to. Parson hit a couple deep bombs that completely changed the game. We had a great kick return by Javius Bond that kind of flipped the script. So, didn't really need the running game to do a whole lot. Cortland Simmons had 35 yards on 10 carries, and he did have a score. Receiving. So, we talked about this last night after the game. The four leading receivers on the team for this game are all new to the team this year. So, that's great to see. Shamar Kirk had 3 for 69. Jackson Head, starting tight end. It was great to see him get a touchdown catch. The other touchdown catch was from Jaden Robinson. And then Nate Garnett had 50 yards on two catches. So, great performance there. On defense, man. So, my two standouts on defense, obviously Ellis is incredible, man. Like, I had the chance to talk to him after the game. And he just exudes confidence. He knows he's the best player on the field most of the time. He's a badass. Great performance. He had 6 total tackles, half a tackle for loss, 3 pass defenses. Like, he's a ball hawk, man. He's really, really, really good. And then I wanted to shout out TJ Cox Jr. as well. He had 2 total tackles, 1.5 sacks. He was a beast. Total on the day, we had 5 sacks on the day. So 5 sacks on the day against the FBS offensive line, or, you know, on paper, it's an FBS offensive line.
Yeah.
Got 5 sacks and a lot of newcomers. Ja'Cory Price, Charles Cruz, TJ Cox, Jacob Neely, and Marcus Howard all got credited with a sack. So what do you think about the defense, Chris? Because obviously the offense is what most people were excited to see, you know, Chris Parson and all these new receivers. And not as many people were talking about the defense, but I thought the defense is the main takeaway.
Yeah, I mean, that was something I told a few people last night. You know, obviously we were excited to see, you know, what Chris Parsons. I mean, who wouldn't be from, you know, all the hype he's been getting? And he, you know, definitely lived up to the hype. But I thought what was more exciting was the defense. I mean, they were all over the place. They several deflections. A lot of breakup, a lot of pass breakups. They were fast. Just very impressed with the defense the entire game. I mean, they went the entire game. Very impressed. Sorry, I'm actually watching the game right now. So.
Oh, you're doing your rewatch.
I got a little distracted there. I apologize, but
I mean, yeah. it's a great game to watch. I mean, yeah. I can't wait to rewatch it again. But the stat that'll jump out to a lot of people is Middle Tennessee's quarterback Nicholas Battiato had 15. He went 15 of 36 for 104 yards. 15 of 36 for 104 yards, completed less than half his passes, barely got over the 100-yard mark. And, I mean, it was well into garbage time by that point. It was the worst game of his career. He's a fifth-year guy. Like, he's an experienced quarterback in the FBS, and Austin Peay had him in hell.
Yep.
I mean, that was crazy to see. I mean, he was overthrowing wide-open guys. I mean, he had – and when he did have a good throw, Ellis was there. And, yeah, it was not a good night for him.
I'm about 13 minutes into the first quarter rewatching mm-hmm. it now, and his receivers did not help him at all in their first two drives. Several passes just were not caught that should have been caught. So yeah,
for sure. Their best player, who I thought their best player on the night was their running back, Middlebrook, and even he had a couple passes hit him yeah. right in the hands.
Yeah, so his receivers didn't help him much either. But, yeah, the Govs definitely got to him, and he had a rough night, to put it lightly.
I don't think they were expecting the Govs to have so much juice off the edge, because he was under pressure, like, running for his life all night.
Yep.
And it was very impressive to see our defense, you know, get so much pressure on an FBS offensive line. Like, they were not a lot of times in an FCS versus FBS matchup, sometimes in the trenches, you know, it's hard for the FCS team, but not in this case. Our boys came to play. We got juice in the trenches.
Yep. Yeah. I was just watching here. Yeah. Soon as they snapped the ball, they're all over them within an instant. So yeah, very, very impressed by the defense. So I'm looking forward to, you know, maybe not so much next week, this coming week, but, you know, the Moorheads, and then, you know, once we start getting into conference play, that's what I'll be really interested in.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing. I told Ryan, producer Ryan, I told him during, you know, about almost to halftime, I told him, you know, at this point, you know, we were up 21-7 at this point, and I told him, I was like, you know, even if they come back and win, like even if Middle comes back and wins, I'm going to feel really, really good about how we can play in the conference. Because if we can take a, you know, FBS team to the brink, we thank the conference. But then we ended up blowing them out. So now my head is huge. Obviously, you know, a lot can happen week to week. And there's going to be some low moments of the season too, like always. But I don't know how you come out of this game and are not ecstatic. And I want the fort to be rocking all year. I want it to be sold out for the opener. And I wanted to tell people this too. So Moorhead State almost lost to a D2 school. And that's who they played, Allen University, which I've never even heard of. And it was 38-31. That's who you get to play in the first home game. So, you know, you're going to go take your lumps at Georgia next week. Hopefully everybody comes out healthy. And then you get to play Moorhead at home, who you should handle.
Yeah, I think I said it a couple times last night on the way home. It's a shame that that game is not this coming week instead of two weeks. Because, you know, coming off this win last night, you know, that would really have, you know, Clarksville. Hopefully the Govs have gotten Clarksville's attention and we can see – A lot of fans come to the next home game.
Yeah, and I want to say this, like, Middle fans completely expected to win that game, and they didn't expect to win it easily. Like they expected to win it very easily. They didn't think it was going to be a game at all. You know, we listened to some pregame podcasts and stuff, and nobody was giving us credit or respect at all. They thought it was going to be a 20-point win for them. So to go in there, and our fans were amazing. I mean, we had one whole side of the stadium that was almost exclusively red and black. And it was cool to see so many people made the trip. The tailgate was awesome before the game. Got to meet a lot of fans of the show, which was always really cool. It's cool to know that, you know, people like what you're putting out. So
yeah,
that was really cool. I'm just so excited, man. I mean, first FBS win since 1987. I just want to – I hope people understand the gravity of the situation. Like, this is not normal. This is not your dad's Austin Peay team. This is a special team, man. And that was a moment last night that I'm never going to forget. Top five sporting moment of my life, easily. Just being there, soaking in the moment, you know, with the fight song after the game and everybody just hugging and living in the moment. It was just awesome. Hopefully many more wins to come this year for sure.
Yeah, it was a good night, to say the least. Good night. Probably one of the biggest wins in, you know, the football program. You know, and like you said, a lot of Middle fans, you know, thought this one was going to be a W, convincingly. So, and then you got, you know, several that are kind of downplaying it, you know. So, it's a big win for program. Let us have our moment and move on.
So, let me ask you this. We'll be objective here. Do you think this win says more about us or more about them?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, like I said, I don't care where MTSU lands on the FBS power ranking. They still got more scholarships, scholarship players. They got a higher revenue than we do. They got all the advantage. So in my opinion, it don't really matter. I think it does say a little bit about both. We're better than, honestly, we're better than I thought we were. I thought we were going to be better than I knew we were going to be better than sixth place in the conference, in our own conference. But I don't know that I expected this. So, yeah.
Well,
answer your question, I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't understand it really, because you had – the line was at like 9.5 24 hours before the game. And then the day of the game, it jumps to 15.5, which I just didn't understand that. I mean, there was no scenario where I thought Middle was 15.5 points better than us. And the home field advantage was negligible. I mean, part of that is because we got out to a hot start. But their fans were heading for the exits in the third quarter. And there were times, like, once it was pretty clear what the outcome was probably going to be, it was loud when Middle Tennessee had the ball. Like, it was loud.
Yep. Yeah, there was, you know, it was obviously the second half across the way was definitely a lot lighter than it was in the first half. And then when Austin ran in for his touchdown, I looked across the way and noticed a lot more people started to get up and leave. So yeah, that was but, you know, Govs come out right out the gate in the first quarter, what, 3 or 4 plays in, and had that touchdown right off the bat. And it took their fans out of the game pretty much. Put them in a state of shock more than anything, I think.
Oh, for sure. They were definitely shocked. I mean, you had Chris Parson threw an absolute dime, and I think it immediately, like you said, put them in the shock. Like, they weren't expecting, like, oh my God, these guys can actually play a little bit. He hit Jaden Robinson on that 22-yard pass. And then the first, like, defensive possession, I was like, oh my, like, we actually got some juice. Like, we're getting after these boys. Like, you want to be objective. And I was thinking, you know, Middle's probably going to have no problem moving the ball. But then I saw their offense looked completely inept. I mean, they couldn't get anything going. Massive credit to our defense. And then we get the ball back, and Cortland – that's when Cortland Simmons got his touchdown. And it was like 14-0. Like, something might be happening here. I started to think, like – this. I mean, it just didn't look like you would have thought it would have looked like. And, you know, Eli Sutton before the game told me in the podcast we did last week, you know, he said we were going to be happy with the result. And – you know, he was right. I mean, obviously, the players and the coaches are going to think they're going to say they think they have a shot at to win every game, but they legitimately do think that. And I think they proved on Saturday they have a good reason to think that.
Yeah, the amount of confidence in everybody from Jordan to the coaching staff to the players kind of led me to believe, like, okay, something we might have something here.
So well, President Licari, after the game, I told you when we were in the truck last night, I told you this. President Licari put out a statement and said, it's not an upset. We were just the better team.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, yeah, it's hard to argue that when you see how much we dominate. There was nothing fluky about it.
Yeah. No, it wasn't FBS versus FCS matchup, but I don't think you'd be able to tell the difference on who was who.
No, for sure.
Yeah. So one team played like an FCS opponent. It sure wasn't Austin Peay. So,
did you see William Hardrick's family getting the game ball?
Yes, that was awesome and a nice gesture for Ferris to do that. So
it was very sweet. Yep. They definitely play hard for him, and I think he would be proud of that effort.
I think I overheard. You can edit this out if I'm incorrect, but I think today was his birthday. Sunday.
Man.
So,
man.
Yep. And I'm sure we'll be corrected if I'm incorrect on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what I heard.
Well, it's a crazy story, man. It's it's awesome. It was all the emotions, all the feelings after that win. And like we said, I think if you weren't already, my excitement was already at like a 10 for the season. And then now, how could it be any lower? I mean,
I'm with you, right? I was probably about a 7 or 8, but I'm right there at a 10 now. Yeah. So yeah, it's really looking forward to seeing what they can do. You know, and like I said a few minutes ago, I'm really looking forward to the conference play. I think we're going to really surprise some people.
Well, we need to probably talk about that for a second too.
Yeah.
Go around the UAC
I got the scoreboard right here.
All right. So Tarleton, obviously, you know, that's Tarleton looks pretty legit. They were the other FCS school to beat a FBS school. There was a lot of close calls, but they actually did it.
And they're also 2-0 before we even played our first game.
Yeah, that was a weird. They were one of the week zero teams, and they destroyed Portland State, and then they beat Army in overtime, which that's a legit win. I mean, Army was a borderline. Like, there was this time last year where they were in contention for a playoff spot.
I mean, you know, I think what's more impressive is, you know, they had the the week zero game all the way at Portland State.
Yeah.
Then they come across country to New York and play Army 6 days later and beat them in overtime. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And like you said, that's a quality win. So,
yeah. And then, yeah, Central Arkansas lost 61-6 to Missouri. I don't know how much you want to read into that. I mean, that's an SEC team. I mean, I don't think that really is indicative. I think UAC is probably not as bad as that score implies.
They'll be in the thick of things like they always are. So,
This one's interesting. So, West Georgia beat Samford at home 34-3. And that's an interesting result because West Georgia has been absolutely terrible in the UAC. And Samford is on Austin Peay's schedule, as is West Georgia. Yep. So, you know, I think we both predicted us to win against Samford, but –
I think I actually picked Samford to win that game.
Yeah, I mean, if you're losing 34-3 to West Georgia, I'm not predicting that we're going to lose to you.
No,
I mean, that's a bad look for Samford.
It's not a good look, and you know, like I put out the other night, it's an even worse look when West Georgia's got 3 D1 wins and you're 2 of them.
Because they did beat them last year, didn't they? Yeah.
yep. So
maybe they just have something figured out with them. I don't know, but
Then you might need to call. Might need to call West Georgia's coaching staff the week before we play Sanford. What are y'all doing?
You had Eastern Kentucky 17-51 against Louisville, which again, you're not going to read too much into that. I think Eastern Kentucky's still a pretty good team. Austin Peay dominating Middle Tennessee. Western Kentucky dominated North Alabama 55-6. That one actually, I think you can read a little bit into that one because Western Kentucky is Conference USA team just like Middle. And, I mean, we handled our Conference USA team, and North Alabama got killed by theirs. Now, granted, Western Kentucky will kill Middle Tennessee. I can almost guarantee – Western will beat Middle Tennessee by 30 points. I can guarantee you that. Yeah. But still. And then another one that I think you can take a little bit away from is Abilene losing to Tulsa 35-7. So Abilene is ranked and projected to be one of the best teams in our conference, and they got absolutely blown out by Tulsa, who is one of the worst FBS teams. CBS Sports does their rankings of all 136 teams, and Tulsa was like 129th. So I actually told Chris on the way to our game yesterday that I wouldn't be surprised if Abilene beat Tulsa, and Tulsa completely overpowered them, and it wasn't even close. So,
yeah. You know. I mean, it was 10-0 at halftime, so.
Yeah, and then they pulled away like good teams do.
Yep.
Another game, you know, Southern Utah put a beating on Idaho State, and that's a pretty impressive win to me because Idaho State almost beat UNLV in week zero. So I don't know. That's, you know, Southern Utah, they've gotten some hype this offseason. They were pretty high. They received some votes to be ranked. So I think that's pretty interesting. And then finally, Utah Tech put up a hell of a fight against UC Davis.
Yep.
And UC Davis is a real team. Like, UC Davis is a playoff team perpetually. And then Utah Tech gave them everything they had. So Utah Tech might be a little – I mean, Utah, the bottom of our conference even looks good. I mean, Utah Tech and West Georgia predicted to finish last and next to last, and they both had, you know, solid showings. So this is going to be a tough conference. That's my takeaway.
No, I agree. You know, good on Utah Tech. I'd be kind of interested to see how they look against Northern Arizona this coming week. Not as good of an opponent as UC Davis, but you know, still be interested to see how they handle that. And then I think Idaho the week after that or something. I don't know. I'll have to look.
Yeah. So next week, our boys go to Athens, play Georgia. Obviously, later on this week, we'll do a preview show. But I think you probably know what we think. You know, you want to go in, don't get hurt, get some valuable reps, yep. Get some lessons to take to the next games and move on. Yep. Anything else you want to say about Middle?
No, just, you know, like I said, like we both said, you know, great win. You know, great start to the 2025 season. And I think we definitely raised some eyebrows last night, for sure, within the conference and FCS. So,
yeah, I saw a lot of national college football writers talking about us. A lot of people.
Yep, even Craig Haley said something. Man, I couldn't believe that.
Oh, yeah. They Gerald, it was cool, Gerald Harrison, you know. He tweeted out congratulations to the team. And I had some former players even reaching out to me. Preston Keck and Dorian Davis, both they were former players, you know, loving what they saw last night. So
yep. And I ran into Mike DiLello last night too. Yeah, he was at the game, and he was impressed also, just very excited. And he was at the tailgate as well. So
yeah, he was.
It was awesome to see him. That had to be a kind of a odd circumstance for him playing at both schools.
Yeah. I think it was clear who he was rooting for, though.
I'm pretty sure it was pretty clear who he was going for. So, but
also wanted to say, I didn't even know it at first, but I was sitting next to Chris Parsons' dad for most of the game. And I had the chance to talk to him, you know, told him how grateful we were that, you know, his son was here and we appreciated it. And he said, first of all, they love being here. But secondly, this win meant a lot to Chris because, you know, he played at Ravenwood High School.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a homecoming, you know.
Was it Ravenwood or I thought it was Brentwood?
It was Ravenwood. So in Brentwood.
Okay.
But his dad, okay. His dad was telling me about that, about how, you know, he played here at Ravenwood and coming back, you know, just down the street, getting a win in front of a lot of friends and family. It was a great, there was a lot of our players are from the Murfreesboro, Middle Tennessee area. So that was really cool to see. Eli Sutton had like 30 people there for him. It was just cool to see such a dominant performance for in front of a lot of people's.
I think what was impressive too that we hadn't really spoke much about as I'm watching this third touchdown from last night was the play calling.
Yeah.
The touchdown to head. I mean, he's standing in the back of the end zone. I mean, he could build a campfire. There's nobody anywhere near around him. I mean, he didn't have to jump or anything. He just stood right there and waited for that ball to come to him. I mean, and there's not an MTSU defender 10 yards from him.
Yeah, it was.
So that was an impressive play call. And then, you know, just the whole night, you know, as far as the play calling went, I mean, it was a great job by the coaching staff.
One more thing I wanted to shout out. Our special teams was immaculate. So Carson Smith, the kicker, had a couple 40-yard field goals, which were vital. They were very important. 4 for 4 on extra points. Gavin Myers had 5 punts, and as soon as he never outkicked his coverage, like they middle had a problem. Every time they fielded a punt, they had bodies on them immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And then, obviously, I mentioned it briefly, but Javius Bond, 2 punt returns for 62 yards, and one of them was for 55, and I thought he was going to the house. And that was kind of the turning point in the game where I stopped being nervous and I started being like, yeah, we've got this.
Yeah, I agree. Same here. Yeah, so. even the the punt coverage was unbelievable. I mean, even when you thought, the returner from middle even – had a chance. I mean, one of our guys was right there to wrap him up. So yeah, the punt coverage was great.
All right. Well, first FBS win in 40 years. And it was awesome. I'm still on an emotional high from it. So anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
No, hey, great job, Gov Nation, coming out last night. Yeah, there was a lot of red in the stands there behind the Austin Peay sideline, and then the band was great, full band it looked like. So, yeah, great job all around. Great night if you're a Gus fan. Not so much if you're a Middle fan.
No, not so much. Also, want to give a shout out to Mr. Kevin Kennedy for sponsoring Gov Talk, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry. Check them out. Let's go pee, baby.
Let's go pee.
Hey, Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.